ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, verse 55. So we're going to recite this sloka. Bhakyamam avijnati javanchasmi tattvatah Tato mam tato tungyatva Dishate tadanantaram Bhaktyamam avijnati Javanjas chasmi tattvatah Tato mam tato tungyatva Dishate tadanantaram Bhaktyamam avijnati javanjas chasmi tattvatah tato mam tato tungyatva dishate tadanantaram Bhaktya, by pure devotional service, mum, me, avijnati, one can know, javan, as much as Ya cha as me, as I am, tattvataha in truth. Tattvataha thereafter, mum, me, tattvataha in truth, jnato, knowing, vishyate, he enters, tat anantaram, thereafter. Please repeat, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Purpa Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. He is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, Devata Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished. Even after liberation. Liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In the spiritual life, the same distinction is there, the same individuality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness. One should not mistakenly think that the word vishate, enters, which means enters into me, supports the monist theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree, not to become one with the tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Impersonalists generally give the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal individuality like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean. If we go deep, Surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatics living in the ocean depth. Because of his pure devotional service, a devotee can understand the transcendental qualities and opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. As is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into his kingdom. After attainment of the Brahman Buddha stage of freedom from material conceptions, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma Buddha stage develops, and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of the devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and with such attachment he becomes free from the material contamination. In that state of life, he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transcendental service continues. The Vedanta Sutra 4.112 confirms this. Aprayana tatrapi hi drishtam. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from the misconceptions of life. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyanam Janasalakaya Shakshuru Militan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitan Jena Bhutale Svayan Rupa Kalamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashuti Adishatarine. So, Bhaktya Mam Vijnanati, Krishna is ending his speech, Bhagavad Gita. This is the last chapter. It's entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. And Krishna has already explained thoroughly in previous chapters who we are, who God is, what this material world is, what the conditioned state of our existence is, what liberation is, and now finally Krishna begins to explain himself and the way to attain him. Now we should remember the Bhagavad Gita is not a treatise of to make us impersonalist. Of course Srila Prabhupada explains in his introduction, the preface of this Gita, that there are so many editions of the Bhagavad Gita already in print in this English-speaking world. But Prabhupada says the only reason why this new one has been undertaken is because in none of those the actual position of Krishna has been described or explained. And that makes sense because non-devotees cannot explain God. Non-devotees cannot explain God. They cannot explain Krishna. So whenever they get the Bhagavad Gita and they want to do some commentary on it, Krishna completely hides himself. Now, this is not the case with this Bhagavad Gita as it is, because Prabhupada actually came to remove the curtain that's hiding Krishna. And only pure devotees can do that. As it is explained here in the purport, in the second paragraph of this purport, is that only the pure devotees, under the guidance of pure devotees, we can actually perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, if we don't get to this point of understanding Krishna, we will remain cold-blooded, cold-hearted, cold-headed, lonely yogis. That's all it is. I mean, you see in India, for example, whenever you go to India, some people, they heard about Krishna, but many people heard about Krishna, but not many people understand Krishna. It's a big difference. We may think that Krishna is a part of our culture, not, you know, having Krishna's festivals or some Krishna's temples, you know, it's just part of the landscape, Indian landscape. But actually, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like he's explaining himself here. And one very important point is that if we want to get to know the Supreme Lord, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, if we want to get to know him, the only way to do that is through love. And this is not outlandish, actually. This is a psychologically very sound. Just like, for example, if you want to love someone, if you're a young man or a young woman and start falling in love with someone, what that means is that you have to develop certain attitude towards that person. You cannot challenge that person. You cannot, you cannot quarrel with that person. You can't. You have to do things that please that person. So that attitude of wanting to love, wanting to associate, wanting to be around that person is manifested. So similarly, Godhead, the Supreme Lord, he is a person. Not only he is a person, not only Krishna is a person, but he is the Supreme Person. And not only he is the Supreme Person, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This statement is very important that Prabhupada came up with. Because most people in this material world, they think of God like a person who is omniscient, all-powerful, but that's it. Keeping scores, sinful activities, pious activities, of different human beings. That's all they can think of God. Or God is being praised by thousands of angels, like that. Very few people understand that that God is actually one of the features of Krishna. See, Krishna is not just God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That word, God, we have in English with many other translations in other languages. That's all what it means. It means, and Prabhupada explains this, that it actually means to be in control. God is the Supreme Controller. That's called Ishvara in Sanskrit. And Lord Brahma, the founder of our sampradaya, the founder of our school, has already stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna. So that is Godhead. But then Lord Brahma expands that notion. He said, Sakshidananda Vigraha. Not only is Krishna Parameshwara, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Powerful, the Supreme Omniscient Person, but he is Sakshidananda Vigraha. Krishna is the personification of eternality, the personification of knowledge and wisdom, and the personification of bliss together. And that's what makes Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, also, it is said by Lord Brahma that Krishna is always loved. There is never a time where Krishna was never loved. Can you believe that? Imagine a person who has never been loved. But in the case of Krishna, he's always loved by someone. In fact, the Brahma Samhita explains, Premam jana churito bhakti velochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Krishna is surrounded by people who love him so much. yam shama sundaram achintya gunasarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. And Lord Brahma is learning to love shama sundar, Krishna, just like we have shama sundar here, Radha shama sundar. Krishna is always surrounded by loving devotees. Also in the same Brahma Samhita, it is explained that Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambramana Sevyamanam. Krishna is surrounded by loving Lakshmis. There are many goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. Like in this material world, to sustain the wealth of this material world, there's one Lakshmi in charge. We understand this. Mother Lakshmi and Lord Vishnu. Mother Lakshmi is actually the one who blesses everyone in this one single universe. And there are many universes, and there is one Lakshmi for each universe because there is one Vishnu for each universe. But in the transcendental world, in Krishna Loka, Krishna is always surrounded by Lakshmis. And they all love him. Imagine that. So there is never a time when Krishna has suffered lack of love. And that's why Krishna is saying here, Bhakti Amam Avijnanati. You want to get to know me? Well, learn to love me. That's what Krishna is saying. Yavan jascha smitatvataha. But do this in truth. Do it truly. And what that means is that we have to develop a service attitude towards God, towards Krishna. We cannot challenge God. We cannot summon God to our presence, just like materialists. Atheist people, they say, show me God right now. I want to see God. Then I can believe. That's a challenge. They are trying to summon Krishna. I mean, you cannot even that with the mayor of Alachua here. You cannot even summon that person to come here and show up in front of you. And Alachua is an insignificant county in the state. And probably an insignificant state in the country. And probably an insignificant planet in the universe. So what right do we have to say, okay, Krishna, show up here. Let me see you first. Then I can start thinking about you. No, that's not the case. Just like if you want to love another person, again, back to the same example we were given, if you want to get to love your spouse, you're not going to be challenging the spouse. That's just human nature. That doesn't go together. Challenging and doesn't go together. You don't learn to love a person by challenges and by demanding things. You get to love a person by giving. And this is why in Krishna Consciousness Movement, we're giving everything to Krishna. And Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is basically saying, listen, I got everything. I got everything that I want. But you, down here, you can give me a flower, you can give me a leaf, you can give me a little bit of water, and I'll be happy about it. So imagine the Supreme Person, Krishna, who is surrounded by Lakshmis, who are the sources of all kinds of wealth, indescribable wealth, something that we cannot even imagine ourselves. We can't imagine. I mean, we could have a clue. For example, in this country, in America, there are very wealthy people. And some of these people, they are more wealthy than several countries put together. They did some kind of study about the wealthiest people on earth, and this guy, what's his name? The guy who invented the PCs? Bill Gates. He came out, you know, the top five, and they were comparing the wealth that these people had, and Bill Gates had more wealth than Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, and Venezuela put together. You're talking about millions of people living in these countries. Millions. And yet, all the wealth that these millions have does not even equal the wealth that this guy has. Of course, it's all paper money, though. So, but imagine Krishna. Krishna owns everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the source of all material worlds and all the spiritual worlds, so he owns them. Bhoktara gyagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna claims proprietorship over all planets, all universes, both material and spiritual. Krishna owns them. And yet, Krishna is only asking your love. When he said, just give me a flower, just give me a leaf, or a little bit of water. All Krishna is asking, but do it with love. And of course, like Prabhupada explains, the Nectar of Devotion also explains, Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, he explains that in order to practice our devotion, we should offer what is dearest to us, to Krishna. For example, we have predilections for certain foods, don't we? We all have some predilections. So you cook that, whatever you're going to cook, and offer it to Krishna. Just like in ancient times, in Vedic India, if you lived in a given realm and you had a very extraordinary type of object, you would automatically bring it to the king. That was a common practice, ancient world. Nowadays, probably nobody would do that, but in ancient times, that's what it was. Because you had this this devotional attitude towards those who were in charge, this respect. So similarly, we all have certain predilections for something. We all like something very much, either food or something. So the Nectar of Devotion is saying, give that object of affection to Krishna. And in that way, Krishna is seeing the sacrifice. Krishna is saying, wow, you know, this bhakta is giving up his rasagulas for me. But really, what is dearmost to all of us is our own life, isn't it? Like everybody wants to live forever. I mean, nobody wants to grow old, nobody wants to suffer. You want to hang on to life. So what is really dearmost to all of us is life itself. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita too, Manmana bhavamat bhakto magjayi magnamaskuru. Krishna is saying, now that you have realized who you are and who I am, now give yourself to me. So Krishna is asking for the most precious thing that we have, that's our own life, our mind, our senses, our love. And this is the fact. Prabhupada explained so many times that the propensity to love is the common denominator in all of our existence. You may be from India, you may be from America, you may be from Canada, from Mexico, whatever, or from another planet. But what you cannot avoid is your propensity to love. We all love someone. Just like, and this love is manifested in different, what is called rasas. In Srila Rupa Goswami's terminology, in his understanding of this theological truth about Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami calls it rasas. And rasas, even though we don't, the Prabhupada explains that it's very hard to translate this term, this Sanskrit term, into a barbarian language like English, but Prabhupada is saying this means mellows, following the footsteps of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But it also means relationships. And really, if you think about it, in life, if you don't have a relationship with anyone, your life will be pretty meaningless. Isn't it? Imagine, picture yourself in a place that you don't have a mother, a father, brothers or sisters. You're not a sister to anyone. You're not a brother to anyone. You're not a son to anyone or a daughter to anyone. You don't have friends. That would be a pretty lonely life, meaningless life. Life acquires meaning as soon as you begin to establish these relationships, these rasas. You're born as a son of someone, a daughter of someone, then you establish friendships, then you see you're a sister to someone, a brother to someone, and then there's all these relationships begin to expand. and these loving exchanges begin to expand. But what happens in the material world is that our loving propensity is contaminated by designations. Think of it like hats. You know, you have a Hindu hat, a Jewish hat, a Christian hat, a Muslim hat, or even an atheist hat. When you put the atheist hat, you hate Krishna, you hate God. When you put the Christian hat, you have some other notion, or the Buddhist hat. But what you cannot avoid is love. We cannot avoid loving. That's impossible. And even if you tried, and you tried to become a impersonalist, like Prabhupada explains in this purport, you can only do for so long. In other words, you can be a lonely yogi, let's say for a day, or for a year, or for 1,000 years, or for 1,000,000 years. But after a while, it bubbles up. Your loving propensity starts bubbling up. It's got to come out. And it is explained that, therefore, in order to actually give proper repose to this propensity to love, is when we dovetail it in the service of Krishna. And this is the real loving situation. At any other time, what we are doing is we are loving designations. We're trying to love a material body. We're trying to love someone else based on material estimations. But even this contaminated propensity to love is based on a transcendental life. Because this propensity to love is not a materialistic conception. It's not. You never find among the diehard scientists who claim that the act of love comes from some kind of chemical combination. Nobody buys that. Nobody's going to buy it. Or your propensity to love came up for it as a result of some evolutionary process. Nobody's going to buy that. So the fact that we are all experiencing love and we know that it's something sublime, but yet it's being frustrated at every step in this material world. Why? Because it's based on the material body. And so Lord Krishna in this verse, which is pretty much ending his discussion of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Tato mam tatato yatva. When you really get to know me, Krishna says, Vishate talanantaram. Then you have an invitation to come to me. Krishna is extending us an invitation. Vishate talanantaram. Prabhupada explains this whole Sanskrit line as saying that it is not that you become a lonely yogi or an impersonalist. It is not that you give up your individuality. No, what it means is that you preserve your individuality, you preserve your propensity to love, but now it's with Krishna, like everybody else is doing. In the transcendental world, in the abode of Krishna, Chintamani Dham, Chintamani prakara satmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavrite sur suravira vipalayantam. Everything is wonderful. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambramana sevyamanam. There's so many Lakshmis all over the place. Like in this world, like if you go to India, everybody's feverishly worshipping Lakshmi, right? Lakshmi Devi. Because they want their blessings. But if you go to the transcendental world, there's thousands of Lakshmis, millions. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata, millions of Lakshmis. And what they're all doing, they're just serving and loving Krishna. And if you hang around them, you're also going to be partaking in these blessings. That's what Krishna is saying. You see, in Vedic theology, we call these Lilas, Krishna Lilas. In reality, Krishna is not a person that has to work like we do. It's not that Krishna has to go to the office or to the factory or whatever your job may be or your business may be to earn a living. Krishna, by his own energies, he's supplying. Chintamani Dham, that's the abode of Krishna. There is abundance of everything. Kalpa Vriksha, there are trees that, just like you see so many trees around here. In the transcendental world, there are so many trees that produce everything. Now, this may sound like a mythology to some of you, but actually Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that this material world, the way you look at this material world, is really, in ultimate analysis, this is a reflection of the real transcendental world. So you see trees here because there are trees over there. You see people here because there are people over there. You love people here because people love over there. These are all perverted reflections. And this is why it's frustrated. We are inebriated. We are intoxicated with unconsciousness of Krishna. This is the peculiar attribute of this material world. People in this material world is that we are all intoxicated with forgetfulness of Krishna. And that's what it makes the whole thing a nightmare. But as soon as we give up this contaminated existence with this contaminated perception, as soon as we purified our senses, purified our mind, purified our intelligence, purified our existence, then you actually dispel this illusion on the strength of this knowledge of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And when one is able to do that, then you realize what Krishna is saying, Bhaktiyama Mamiganati, that the only way to get out of here and the only way to stay with Krishna is through love. And this makes sense again. Imagine if you go to a foreign country for many, many years and you want to come back home. You are hankering to go back home. Why is that? Because you know that back home there is a lot of love. I mean, what else would you come back home? What else are people attached to their parents, or attached to their spouses, or attached to their sons and daughters, or their community, or their neighborhood? Why is everybody wants to come to Alachua? ISKCON Alachua. Because there's a lot of love here. There's Krishna, Radharani. There are devotees who worship Krishna all the time. There are devotees who are serving Krishna all the time. They're loving Krishna. And that's all we got to do here. That's why it's very appealing. Because it touches the soul. It stirs up the feelings of love towards the Supreme Lord. And then when somebody stirs you up and your original transcendental love, you want more. Because that's the nature of loving exchanges in the transcendental world. Prabhupada explained that it increases. In our material world, sometimes we had to have a break of your beloved, isn't it? Imagine if you can hang around your spouse 24 hours a day. Those of you who are married. Imagine if you hang around your wife or your husband. Wherever she goes, wherever he goes, that's where you are. You need a break in the material world. But in the transcendental world, it's the other way around. Because this bliss increases. And it never ends. You don't get saturated. And that's what is called Ananda. And that's what all Krishna is doing. Krishna is always exchanging loving relationship with his devotees. He's doing nothing else. These are called Leelas. And so this Vishate Talanantaram, the end of this verse, Krishna is saying, you are all invited. And the only ticket is Krishna Bhakti. That's the ticket to get into Krishna's party. Just like nowadays, I mean, everybody's celebrating the appearance day of Jesus, isn't it? At least in the Western world. And everybody's partying. I mean, some parts of the world, the party stands like for weeks. Here in America, it's a very quiet party, but everybody's partying. Because it's natural. This is the nature of the soul, is to be in ananda, in bliss. But in the transcendental world, this ananda is never ending. And that is why Krishna is extending his invitation here. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu? There's a microphone there. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, repeat the second part. If you want, Prabhupada said that if you want to what? Yes. Yeah, so knowledge. Well, Prabhupada also says that if you want to love someone, if you want to show interest for someone, you're going to show interest on the predilections of that other person. Prabhupada oftentimes, because in America it's very famous, people, Americans like dogs for some reason. Americans like dogs. So Prabhupada gives the example when he was preaching to Americans. He said, it's like, when you love my dog, you're showing that you care for me. I'm the owner of this dog. And when you show interest for this dog, that means you show interest. And I noticed that. Actually, in the neighborhood where I live, I don't like dogs myself. But when the neighbors come around with their dogs, I acknowledge the presence of the dog. And then my neighbor lights up in a smile. It's just, I don't know why, but Prabhupada picked that up. And it's a fact. So, and Prabhupada gives that example as the analogy that if you want to love Krishna, you got to love his devotees. That's the only way. Because doing the jump from a contaminated state to a purified state, when you can see Krishna face to face, that's impossible. It's a gradual process. That's called bhakti. And the first step is you associate with the devotees and you serve the devotees and you hang around the devotees. That's called sadhu sangha. And then Krishna notices, oh, this person likes my devotees. And then Krishna blesses you with more understanding. And the first symptom of someone who is being blessed by Krishna is that your senses are pacified. Because there is no burning sensation such as that of having urges of the senses. When your senses are so engaged with the material objects, you're completely oblivious to any other level of understanding, of feeling, even feelings. When one is so engaged in enjoying the senses, you practically speaking, you're gone. You cannot perceive the basis of even of life. But as soon as one begins to associate with the devotees of Krishna, then the devotees of Krishna begin to teach you, begin to show you how it works. In fact, actually, there are many ways that people try to explain the existence of God, isn't it? Even in America, there is a big dispute right now in the schools, in the public schools. People want to use what is called the argument of design, that they want to teach this in the schools. Similarly, there is an argument of the cosmological argument for the existence of God. There is the ontological argument for the existence of God. So many arguments. But our argument, we are propounding on the basis of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada that the only proof that there is God is because there are devotees of God. Which other way can you figure it out? The only way you can figure it out that there is a president in the United States right now is because you see the police patrolling around here. Well, you can, by inference, okay, there must be somebody in charge, isn't it? And you don't see President Obama all the time. You see it on TV maybe. But even if you're a skeptic, you can say, well, I don't trust in TV, so I don't think that person exists. But when you see the police driving around, then you know somebody's in charge. Similarly, how can you understand that God exists, that Krishna exists, by seeing his devotees? Those devotees who are so in love with Krishna, only they can reveal Krishna to you. And one of those devotees is Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.